Hi, I'm Mel Pickup, Chief Executive of Bradford Teaching Hospitals, and welcome to this month's episode of our podcast series, where I'm sitting down with colleagues and partners from across the Trust and the wider community to find out more about them and their contributions to the health and well-being of people here in Bradford. Today, I'm joined by two guests to discuss the important role of research in the work of our clinicians, whether that's alongside a traditional clinical role or as part of one of our teams of dedicated researchers here at the Trust. Jen Syson is the research matron and a senior research midwife who's recently been appointed to the National Institute for Health Research Senior Research Leader Programme, where she aims to foster a culture of research activity amongst nurses and midwives. And Pepper Wood is a research nurse who transitioned from community nursing and is now serving as the manager of the respiratory team at the Patient Recruitment Centre, which we'll hear all about, where she's deeply involved in clinical research and patient care, particularly around the field of respiratory health. So, Jen, let's start with you. Can you take us through your journey from becoming a midwife back in 2003 to your current role as a senior research leader? What were some of the key moments that shaped an interesting career pathway for a clinician to take?
So I think when I started in 2003, research would never have even been on the horizon. I wanted to get rid of the stuff I'd learnt at uni and get the women and, you know, and do sort of a clinical role. And when I moved to Bradford in about 2006, I'd moved from hospitals where there wasn't a lot of research happening. I was a clinical midwife working on the labour ward and on the clinical wards. And I started to notice that there were things happening on labour ward to do with research, and it piqued my interest. And then a secondment opportunity came up to work one day a week in the research team. And I thought, why not? I've always been quite interested. So I went off just to do one day a week alongside my normal clinical role. And then I just loved it. And it hooked me in, and I sort of increased my hours and then became senior research midwife. And then I started working with the Clinical Research Network in Yorkshire and Humber, and I've got a national role now as well. I chair the Reproductive Health and Childbirth National Research Champions Group.
Wow.
you can tell how many times I've said that. And then, so I just, research is just my passion. I just think we can't make anything better without it. And part of what drew me into midwifery in the first place was wanting to do a career where I felt I could make a difference and go home feeling like I'd helped people. And research helps you do that on a bigger scale. So I felt like it, you know, you can make a real impact.
It's interesting that you kind of said when you moved to Bradford, you became aware of sort of research opportunities, because when I came to Bradford, I had very little appreciation of just how much research is done here and how successful we are at things like the Patient Recruitment Centre. Pepper, you're going to talk to us about that. But the groundbreaking longitudinal studies that are born in Bradford, the Health Institute, all of that is, in some respects, a bit of a well-kept secret. And we don't want it to be, which is, you know, the reason why we're talking today, because I'm incredibly proud of the research that we do at Bradford Teaching Hospital. We really punch above our weight as far as the cadre of research institutions nationally is concerned, but very few people seem to, outside of Bradford and even outside of this organisation, know about that. Is that something you get a sense of now that you're doing your national work? Do they kind of say, wow, didn't know that was happening in Bradford?
From in the research world, no. They all go, oh, do you work at Bradford? There's loads happening in Bradford. So I think within our research circle, we are quite well known. We've just found out actually that last year we were the highest recruiting trust in the whole of the country. So people in Bradford have, you know, have had more opportunity to take part in research than anywhere else in the country, which we're really proud of. Yeah, but I think outside maybe of research, people don't always see Bradford, this little northern town, as being a high flyer in terms of...
Yeah, it's fantastic because people think about, you know, the old sort of parlance about the Golden Triangle and the big academic institutions and things like that. So to appreciate that actually we recruited more people than some of those long-standing research institutions is fantastic. And so having made that decision and sort of got really bitten by the research bug, were there any particular challenges that stand out during this journey? Any real highlights that you want to tell us about?
The challenges probably run with the highlights. A lot of the studies that come, you get the protocol and you read and you think, oh, crikey, that's going to be tricky to actually pull off in practice, because a lot of them will change practice. We've just done one called Group B Strep 3, which is offering testing for pregnant women for Group B Strep. And it's something that's offered in a lot of the world and isn't something that we do yet on the NHS because there just isn't the evidence there. So that involved every pregnant woman that came in labour in Bradford being offered the chance to be tested at the point of admission in labour to see whether they had Group B Strep present. And if they did, then we could offer them antibiotics. So that was changing the care for every woman that walked through the door of the unit. So the whole of the clinical team have to be involved in that, and the guidelines need rewriting. And, you know, so it's a big undertaking and you think, crikey, how are we going to do that? But actually nearly, it was 2,700 and something women were offered that test last year. So it's those challenges that I think give you the highlights, because you think we've done it, you know, and all those women have had access to something that they wouldn't have. Yeah. Or you've findings of a study. So we had one that was looking at giving antibiotics to women after an assisted vaginal birth because we knew they were more at risk of infection. And again, that was offering women the chance to take part in a study within 6 hours of having had the baby, which at that time, you know, you're weighing the baby, telling everyone you've had the baby. There's a lot going on for somebody to wander in and say, do you want to take part in a study? I think we thought, oh, women might not be too keen on this. But actually, we were one of the top recruiting sites in the country, and they found out that giving women antibiotics reduced the risk of systemic sepsis by more than half and reduced overall antibiotic usage. So, you know, that will mean that less women are ill from now on.
You must have some really good communication skills. And like you say, in that scenario, when you've just given birth, you've got a brand new baby, somebody coming along and talking about that stuff is going to be quite difficult to convey the importance of it and the benefits of it, I guess, because they're going to be very preoccupied and excited at that time, aren't they?
So that's where I think having the clinical staff involved. So our maternity unit are really clinically research active, and actually it was the midwives and the doctors that had looked after the women during their labour that did the approach to the study. They all got trained and they were the ones that spoke to them about it, because they'd already got that existing relationship. The women were given the information beforehand so that they knew the study existed, and then it wasn't a stranger wandering in. It's giving them complete informed choice. You know, it's, we don't try and persuade anybody to take part, because they've absolutely got to want to take part, and at any point in time they can change their mind. So it's about people that know the study well to give them the complete overview of what the risks might be, what the benefits might be, and then they are given complete free rein to decide whether or not to take part.
Yeah. Okay. So, Pepper, similar to Jen, you started in a more traditional nursing role before moving into research. Tell us about your journey.
So I started on an orthopaedic ward, so very different surgical ward. Loved my time there. Just got like my basis of nursing, all my basic skills. And then I started to sort of delve into community work, got a job within a district nursing team, working in the community. So I worked over in East Lancashire, and then I moved to Bradford, worked in district nursing teams over here. And then I just, to be honest, how I got into research was I just wanted something different. And then when I looked into research and looked at, because I believe that sometimes there's a bit of a misconception of what research is. A lot of people, that even friends and family, they think you are sat at a computer looking at data. That is what I've always got. Mm. And it's not. It is clinical. It's nursing. You are face-to-face with patients. You're doing all your nursing skills. You're doing your bloods and your ECGs and all your clinical. So, yeah, I just sort of fell into research. And as soon as I started, it is a whole new world of skills and words. And yeah, I've just worked my way up, started in the patient recruitment center as a research nurse, and then got the job in the respiratory team as the manager. But yeah, it is a totally different world, and it's something I think we want to invite people into, just to see, to like get a glimpse of what we actually do, because it is always surprising.
In that journey then, were there any, again, a similar question to Jen's, were there any kind of standout pivotal moments in that?
I think coming from community nursing, seeing obviously people in their own homes and a lot of long-term conditions, which in respiratory we do COPD studies. So it's quite a long-term condition, but I saw a lot of people in community at the other side in palliative care. So at the end stage of their life. But in community, I did start looking into a lot of research, because a lot of our palliative patients, they would have medications that weren't, it wasn't their primary prescription. So it wasn't what they were generally used for. And obviously these medications were being used for alternative uses. So I started sort of looking into, right, well, where do these medications come from? And also I came just at the end of COVID into research. So yeah. Obviously I was seeing everything on the news, the Novavax study that was run at Bradford that recruited over 700 people. That was like the team that I work in now. So that was prior to me. Seeing like the COVID study and things, and how these companies, how do they get this medication to market so fast? Yeah. And obviously COVID obviously was a one-off, but we see it in the studies that I do now, how fast a medication can get to market.
Yeah. When I do induction to welcome new colleagues to the organisation, we talk about the primary purpose of the organisation, and it is threefold, really. It's of course, to provide really high quality, safe care to patients, but it's also to be great at research and really good at training and education and a great place to work. Mm. And we always sort of touch on all three aspects of that, because you're quite right. I think people's perceptions about research and who does research and where research is done doesn't naturally fit with understanding that it is part and parcel in our day job as a hospital, which is the point you're making, Jen. You know, when it works really well is when it is embedded into everyone's day-to-day business, yeah, and not this added extra. And I think that's the real benefit of having such a close and strong research function in the heart of a teaching hospital. It's really important.
It's part of the CQC now, because they've done, researchers have researched into research, as always, but they found that research active hospitals have better patient outcomes, and it's actually, there's a direct link between the amount of research that happens in an organisation and the mortality and the morbidity of the patients that are in it. So we know that having research in the hospital gives patients better outcome. If there was anything else we knew that would increase that patient in front of you's chance of being better or having a better outcome, we would absolutely strive to do it. And I think that's really key, that we all remember that research does that for patients and that it is part of our everyday care. So when the CQC come, they can now ask staff on the wards, you know, how do you know what research is happening in this area? How are the patients finding out? Do you know how to contact the research team? Yes. And it's in our ward accreditation now to sort of try and start embedding some of that.
The sort of the researchers like yourselves of the future are going to come from those people who were like you, who didn't really know very much about how you get into that field of work, the routes to take, and you're great role models. So you can help and support and advise people who've got either some interest or no interest at the moment, because they don't really have much of an understanding. That's part of your job as well, I guess, isn't
yeah,
it?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We're always really keen, aren't we, to get students come yeah, spend some time with yeah, us, see what we do. And in actual fact, two of the staff that work now in the PRC have come straight from being students into research nursing.
Right.
Because they've just loved the placement so much that they came straight back to us and, you know, and have started yeah, in research as their first place in their careers.
So, Pippa, can you think of any examples of research that have directly impacted and improving the lives of the people who have volunteered for a study?
We did have quite recently an asthma study for patients who were suffering with severe eosinophilic asthma. So the study was an open label study. So the patients knew what drug they were going to get, and there was no placebo arm on it. So they were guaranteed to get this medication, and it was accessible through the study within 2 weeks. And on the NHS, it would take them at least a year to get that medication. So exactly the same medication, same dose, everything, same schedule. So when these patients came to us, they were very unwell. So we recruited to that study. We ended up over recruiting. It was a brilliant study. Obviously a lot of commitment, but the patients that came on that study, they were like different people. You know, there was young parents who couldn't go to the gym, couldn't play out with the kids, they couldn't breathe. And yeah, it was amazing, like just seeing them on that study for a year. And the study also, they improved on it, which obviously it's not always a guarantee that you can have this medication, it works for you, but they were guaranteed a transfer into NHS care as well. So after that 52 weeks, they were transferred to the respiratory nurses who deliver their injections, and still in touch with a couple of them. And yeah, they're living the best life on this medication that's working for them. And it's amazing.
I think we've done some videos of a couple of patients who have participated in research studies. And I think one was a lady who was in the asthma one potentially. Okay. They said exactly what you said, which is, why wouldn't you do this? If there is something out there that you can access through a research study and have all the checks, because you are forensic in how you oversee the impact of these drugs on those patients participating, aren't
yeah.
you? And I think what the gentleman was saying was, I see these research nurses so often that I'm assured that every time I see them, I get this checked and that checked, my blood pressure checked, everything checked. So I'm in really good working order thanks to participating in this research study, aside from the impact of the drug that you're actually researching the efficacy of.
Yeah, a lot of them, they do really appreciate the fact that we just take over their full care. So
yeah.
take over their medications from the GP. If they do become unwell, they come and see us. So you can see straight into a doctor, straight in to see a nurse, same day, just give us a call and they get sort of an MOT.
Excellent. So can you think of a study that you've been involved in that's had much bigger impact? You know, you've mentioned the Novavax trial.
We're just finishing one of our Moderna studies, which was comparing two COVID vaccines. So that's made a huge impact because while that study was ongoing, they actually licensed one of the variations for it and started giving it as an autumn injection. And also we've employed a paediatric nurse in the patient recruitment centre team. So we've started doing paediatric studies because the patient recruitment centre, we can do larger scale trials. The paediatric studies, we're going to be doing some vaccine studies. Obviously we have our brilliant children's research team. The capacity that we have in our team, we're going to be able to do large-scale paediatric vaccine trials, which will be amazing.
That'll be really exciting.
Yeah.
So you talked about it's really great when you get nurses on placements or other healthcare professionals, I guess, on placements, because when you are training to be one of those, quite academically based, and your program's run by university, and it usually results in a graduate or a postgraduate qualification. And of course, evidence-based practice is the gold standard that everybody works to, but they experience that from a very different side, don't they? So they will be reading textbooks, for example, and learning about procedures and things that other people have researched. What's the main difference, do you think, that you could explain to us exists between academic research and clinical research?
I think it is just that, isn't it? The clinical side of it. It's yeah. not looking at the data, it's being in the there and now. I feel like a lot of the things, even when I was at university, we did do brief research module, but it was more based around analysing data, and the clinical research trials we do are there and then in yeah. the now, and you're it's not data, is it really?
I always say that research is kind of like a circle, and the bit yeah. that you learn at the university is maybe how to read the papers and how to understand what good research is, and then know that you need to do evidence-based practice. But those papers don't appear out of thin air. They
somewhere.
Only appear yeah. if the patients that you're caring for get a chance to take part. And that's where you come in as a clinical nurse or midwife, is letting the patients know what studies are available to them and things. So I did a bit of work from a regional perspective with newly qualified midwives, because they were quite often coming to me with that same notion of
yeah.
qualitative, quantitative statistics, you know, or it's not for me, I'm not academic, I just want to do the clinical stuff. And I started doing a webinar with some colleagues around the region, and we asked people at the very start, what are the three words that you think of first when you think of research? And we did it anonymously, so they could be honest. And I used to get, I had yawn, boring, complicated, not for me, you know, a whole list I mean, some people put interesting, but a lot of the general consensus was, oh gosh, this is not for me and this is really complicated. So we used to do the sort of hours webinar and just show the clinical side of research and the fact that we are caring for patients right the way through the studies. And often we find things that have been missed from a clinical perspective. So you were saying there about us being forensic. It isn't just about what we do. We're looking at the patient's whole journey. So we'll quite often think, oh, nobody's checked their iron for a little while, or, oh, that scan's booked for the wrong time period in the pregnancy and we need to move that. So we quite often find things that we can tweak in the everyday care to improve that too. Yeah. But by the end of the webinar, we were getting things like, oh, interesting, and improves the future of public health. And you just think, gosh, in an hour, we just show people what the actual reality of it looks like. It, from a clinical perspective, it's incredible.
Yeah. So Jen, congratulations on your appointment to the NIHR's Senior Research Leader Programme. Can you tell us a bit more about this? Other than having a fantastically long title, tell us more about what the role entails and what your day-to-day responsibilities will look like.
It's a national programme where anybody from within the country that was currently working in a research role could apply. And what they've essentially done is make it so that people can be a research leader within their organisation. So the NIHR have funded 2 days of my time that we've then backfilled with another research matron so that I can be freed up to do some of what our own trust needs in terms of supporting the research leaders of the future and getting research into nursing and midwifery and things like doing education and coming on induction programmes and providing placements and letting staff know what options available to them. So the NIHR has got so many courses and programs and internships and things that are funded, and funded master's programs and all sorts out there that nurses and midwives can get access to. But I think quite often we don't necessarily know it's there, and if you don't know to look for it, how do you find it? So part of my role now is getting that raft of information to the people that can take part in.
So helping people, well, stimulating in the first place. So things like your webinar, kind of to convey a completely different perspective on research to those that they hold because they've gone through university. And it's that's where they, so what was it, yawn? Never. Can't believe that for a minute. But so you've got people sort of interested, and then you can help and support and navigate and signpost them. So it sounds like a fantastic thing for the trust, as well as for you to develop as a leader and for our future generation of researchers.
So you get to be part of a national cohort. There's 20 of us that are doing it across the country this year, and obviously we can all network and get ideas from each other, and we'll be given
pinch with pride.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
don't reinvent the wheel, add spokes, somebody said to me once. But also you get to take part in a national project, so it will help me just to make more contacts and get more information and stuff that I can bring back to us.
That's brilliant. So you've clearly got very busy jobs, but you know, the passion is oozing out of your birth. So that in and of itself often creates that interest, isn't it, in, well, what do you do? Tell us a bit, little bit more. And that's how you kind of cultivate people who in the future are going to do the jobs that you do. But where are you going to go? What are you going to do? What are your ambitions and aspirations?
I'm busy enough at the moment, I think.
I think for me at the moment, obviously Jen's very helpful manager to me. So I'm looking at an investigator programme that I'm going to be applying for. So hopefully that would mean that I could run some research trials as a nurse. So that's through the NIHR. I think it'll always be in research, but yeah, just adding them extra skills onto what I can do.
Jen, what about you? Taking on the world?
I'm at the very start of this, and it's a 3-year programme. So I think for the moment, with that, and like I say, I'm the chair of the national group. So that takes up some time with working with all the reproductive health champions from around the country. We organise an annual big symposium event. We had Davina McCall there last year, which was very exciting. So I've got that to plan for next year, but we're having a 10-year extravaganza. So that should be quite interesting. Yeah. So I feel like at the moment, the day job's got enough to keep us both busy, hasn't it?
And what motivates you then? Because, you know, you're very very busy, of course, but that kind of motivation to get up every day and tackle all those challenges, where does it come from?
I think it's seeing when you see improvement in your patients, and also seeing the studies that you have completed, seeing the results, and, you know, there's things that then get in license for them patients. But I think even throughout a study, you see a patient's journey and how different it's impacting on the life.
Because sometimes it can take quite a while, can't it, from recruiting a patient. It can be a very long time for it to, because these are, you know, important things that have to be tested widely, and the long-term impacts tried to be judged. And so it's not a quick thing. How do you kind of keep the interest and the motivation? Do you actually sometimes forget some of the studies that you've done, and then all of a sudden you see that things are on the market? Or
we usually have like a results day. So you've always got in the back of your mind, oh, I wonder if it did work. Especially if it's been like a randomised trial where there's been a placebo involved. So sometimes we don't know what the patients have been taking, and they don't know what they've been taking. And you do have it in the back of your mind that, oh, I wonder what the results will be to that study. But quite often they'll have a results day. So we all go down to wherever it is, quite often Birmingham
and
or London.
And typically how long will that be after?
It's usually a few years.
Yeah, a few years, wow.
It depends how long it takes them to work on the data and how much data they've got. So that Group B Strep 3 study, there's 320,000 women that have taken part across the country. So you can imagine the amount of data crunching they have to do after we've sent all that information back. But when you sit there and you realise that something that you've worked on will make a difference to everybody that's coming through the maternity unit or the respiratory unit or wherever it is, the hospital. Yeah. When you see the impact that that has, I think that's where my motivation comes from.
Yeah, definitely.
So what have been some of the most rewarding experiences in your research career? If you could just choose one.
Gosh, there's so many.
I know to one of our asthma studies, we recruited the first patient in Europe. So that was a real achievement.
And when you do that, then will all those other places know that you've been the first? Look at you when you pulled a snidey little face then, Pepper, when I said that. So that's the sense of achievement then. That, and they must be looking and saying, oh, blooming, Bradford have done it again.
It's a nice feeling because, you know, your work's, they appreciate it. And obviously you're doing a good thing as your nursing perspective of getting your patients onto studies, but you are actually getting, it's because, you know, nursing, it is quite hard at times of the pressure and things of working. So it is nice to get that reward when you have worked hard for it.
I think what's really interesting, and I think our last podcast actually was with some colleagues from the palliative care team who are very interested in research. And for me, talking to you guys, what I'm struck by is the breadth of opportunity that is presented as a consequence of choosing a career in nursing. And so one of the things I really impress upon people thinking about a career in nursing or in any other allied health professionals, you can literally start there but end anywhere. It opens so many doors and so many opportunities if you've got really good people like you to support you and give you that leg up.
Yeah, we were just saying before when we were sat waiting to come in, when you look back at your career, all of these, you know, crazy things that have happened. I've met Stacey Dooley and been on Panorama from research.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've met Davina McCall because of her coming to events. And, you know, you just think, gosh, I would never in a million years have thought that that would have been as a midwife. Research opens a lot of doors, I think, that you don't necessarily know are there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So what advice would you give to your younger self?
I think for me, it's taking the chances of visiting different places, especially we're quite open, aren't we? And we invite a lot of nurses who work elsewhere and say, come and spend a day with us at the recruitment centre. So we even do that as part of like a package now, don't we? Mm-hmm. Inviting them to come and spend a day with us to see what we do. And I think especially now we get quite a lot of student nurses, it's they do see a different side to it.
You convert them.
I mean, all the midwives in the unit work half in research and half clinical. So they've all maintained their clinical role, bar the team
really
lead.
Important, yeah.
And they work a couple of days a week in research. So they get the absolute best of both worlds. They're on a secondment. Yeah. And that means that they still keep their foot in their current job that they're doing, but they can go dip a toe in the water and see whether or not it's for them. So I think there's opportunities for things like that, where people don't have to completely leave the job that they're doing and that they love, but that they can do both at the same time. So there's so many ways of sort of thinking outside of the box, I think.
Jan and Pepper, thank you so much for joining me today. I wish you all the best in your new role, Jen. I'm delighted to have two fantastic ambassadors and role models for research working with us here at the Trust. And if you would like to find more out about the broad range of research that we carry out here at Bradford Teaching Hospitals, simply go to bradfordhospitals.nhs.uk/research.